Are you guys with us? We know you are. So here's how you can help. First, share this podcast with your friends. We can't grow without you. Second, go to www.dmwpodcast.com and check out our merch site. I guarantee we have some great stuff that you're gonna love. And your purchase helps support the show. Lastly, keep on leaving positive reviews and follow on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Dead Men Walking Podcast. As always, we appreciate your prayers as we continue to bring glory to God. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts now. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Thanks for sharing with a friend. And you can check us out at dmwpodcast.com. Find out more about the podcast, All Glory to God. And if you want to support the show, you can even buy some snarky merch or even like this t-shirt I'm wearing here. All Huss, No Fuss. And yes, we do know that's not the original German pronunciation of Huss, but Huss doesn't rhyme with fuss. So we're going with the American pronunciation of John Huss or Johann Huss. So guys, welcome back. We've been busy this summer. Just finished up a live, it wasn't live, it was pre-recorded, but from the shores of Lake Michigan, which we got some good feedback on that. You guys liked the scenery in that video. The audio, maybe not so much. You heard the waves crashing in the background, but I did my best to balance it out. I don't want to sit here and talk because we have someone in studio today.
Yay.
Would you like to introduce yourself? Julie Van, and it's warmer.
Yep. Yeah. All Dutch. Nice
Dutch name.
Yes, it is.
I'm 40% Dutch German. So we have more than one thing in common because we're going to talk about it.
All right. Yes. Yes.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my husband is Dutch, but he's also half Italian. So it's funny to have this last name. So okay, yeah. We'll go with it. Yeah, I am a wife and mom. Yeah. My husband and I have been married 26 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Yep, I'm great. I'm happy about that. And then I have six kids. Two are married, and I have a grandbaby. So I get to be a grandma, and I'm very happy about that.
So you have hit almost all the stages of parenting there.
Except empty nest. I still have kids in the house.
Oh, okay. So a busy house, too,
yes,
then.
Yes, very much. Yeah.
That's awesome. And we're kindred spirits, I think, a little bit, too, because you understand you have a husband that's a realtor, a very experienced and professional realtor, been doing it a long time. I'm a realtor. Yep. And we were kind of talking when we were at our church camp. We go to church together at Christ the Word, of course, too. Shout out to Christ the Word.
Yep.
We were just talking about how you're kind of always, you know, I saw Bill, your husband. Yep. He's over there in the corner holding his phone up. And I go, oh, he's doing a deal. Yeah, I know that.
Trying to get service, holding it above his service, head. So, right.
So you know what it's like to live with someone who's kind of on call all the time, too.
And your wife and I discussed that I think sometimes we are real estate widows as we sit there and wait for our husband to do their job on their phone. So,
It's tough when we do camping and stuff, too. The kids are like, let's go fishing. And I'm like, I got to go back to the camper and jump on the laptop for a little bit. Right. But then we'll go. But it does afford you a lot of flexibility and freedom, too. So I'm not complaining at all. The Lord has provided, and it's exactly what we needed to be able to homeschool and do the church functions and all that kind of stuff. But so I wanted to have you on today because you have a wonderful podcast called Unshaken.
Yes.
Women of the Word. Is that the subtitle, right?
Yep.
And it's through Christ the Word. You're the host. And I think you usually have a few guests on. And then do you ever have another host as well? I've mostly heard just you, but
it's mostly me. I have had a few other women that I've had more conversations with, you know, but mostly it's me as the host.
And it's a fascinating podcast. So I want to talk about that a little bit and wanted our listeners to kind of, you know, get to know a little bit more about it. Now, our demographic is mostly men, but we do have some females that listen.
Okay.
And from a female perspective, I think it's a great podcast no matter what, but especially for women talking about those things. I was listening to it and I go, oh my gosh, we're so blessed to have so many wise women in our church and ministering to each other and things like that. So talk about how the podcast came about and kind of what you guys cover.
Okay. Well, we started actually in a conversation that I had with our women's ministry director, Wendy Folk, and it was during the beginning of the lockdown for COVID when nobody could leave their houses. Remember that? that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we were like, what can we do for our women? Because, you know, women who, if you do homeschool, if you are home with little kids, if all of a sudden your job made you go home to work, you know, women are kind of relational. And so, like, how can we help them? And I am so thankful for YouTube because I just went on YouTube and did some research on how to put together a podcast with my iPad and GarageBand. I felt like I was a 14-year-old boy, you know, mixing music.
Right.
That was really good. And we started, we said, let's just do 12 episodes. We also have for a long time recorded all of our women's events and like the talks that were given.
Okay.
So we had a ton of that that we could use already. So, and they were good. So we thought this is a great platform with which to put them on. And then I've been doing a lot of interviews with people over the time. Because one of my favorite things is every podcast has its own little niche.
Sure.
You know, that's what they're for. And that's why they're huge right now.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things is we just interview only average everyday women.
Yeah.
Like we don't have anybody who's fancy on the podcast, like nobody with a big name. We just have women local from our church who live in Northwest Ohio and Southeastern Michigan and just do life here. And I love that because they're just normal people.
Yeah.
And God has blessed them.
You know, it's funny you say that, but I just had that conversation with someone offline about people say, oh, you have these people on that in certain circles are more popular and have a name. Yeah. And then you talk to them. And then after the recording, you have a little post-show conversation and you go, oh, they're just people though.
Yes. This is true.
I don't care how many books you've written, how many churches you've pastored. Right. Guess what? We're all sinners. We're all fallen.
Sure.
We all need God's grace. And when you interview someone or talk to them for an hour, you get to realize, oh yeah, they got the same struggles and the same problems. So, when you say just average women, I've been listening to the podcast and I would say they're nothing. They're definitely above average. They are,
okay.
You know what I mean? I don't want it to sound like, oh, if you don't have a name, it's like the podcast is really good because you're talking about real world experiences.
Yeah.
The latest one was on discernment and wisdom, which is my favorite subject. Yeah. I'm a Proverbs and Ecclesiastes guy through and through. And I loved hearing you guys talk about that stuff. But what are some of the subjects that you go over then?
Well, we do a lot of different things.
You cover it all.
Yeah, we don't really have a particular topic that we, you know, but we've done discernment. We have talked about, we did a whole series on called Feminology, and it was on biblical womanhood and how women in the world are viewed and how the world tells women to act and be, and then also what the Bible says. And we're just always going back to what does the Bible say? What does God's word say about this topic? So we've talked this year, we're doing Feminology. We're talking about emotions because women tend to have some emotions and all people do.
Yeah.
But how do you deal with it and what emotions are okay? How can emotions fall into sin? So we're, you know, we talk a lot about the real stuff, like women are lonely or women are struggling with jealousy or bitterness or resentment.
Sure.
And how you deal with that. So.
Yeah, it's so crazy because this day and age too, it's like everything that is pushed towards women, even in the secular culture for sure, but even if you get out into the more middle of the road evangelical Protestant culture, it's like follow your heart. And then you're like, well, wait a minute, Jeremiah says the heart is the most deceitful of all things. I'm supposed to follow Christ and his word. And you can get, you know, I've talked to many male and female, all Christians that are getting a kind of a anti-biblical, weird type of do what's best for you and fulfill your desires and, you know, make yourself happy and your own truth and all these things.
Right.
And boy, and even within some churches.
Yeah.
And that, boy, is that the exact opposite of what the word of God says.
Yeah. And that didn't happen overnight.
No. Decades and decades of this.
That happens in little pieces all the way along. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, how did we get so far away from truth?
Yeah.
How did we start to believe this? So we do have to like pull back.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of what we try to do is pull women back on the right track and teach them through it. We try to encourage them. And we also just try to, you know, part of our name, I think you have a fancy name here, you know?
Well, it's Ephesians 2. We're all dead in our sins and trespasses, but now raised in priestly and high places with Christ.
Yeah. So we're from Psalm 62:2, which talks about how we can be unshaken because of Jesus and because of God. So that's what our goal is.
Yeah. So good. So let's stick on the emotion. addiction thing a little bit too. I found that, okay, so here's the pendulum I've seen. I saw, especially within, like, I come from like conservative politics, where for a while there, you know, you had like the whole Ben Shapiro thing where it was like facts, you know, what was this thing? Facts don't care about your feelings, right? Oh. It was very anti-emotional.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yes.
Get rid of the emotion. Let's all go facts and feelings, right? And for a man, that feels really good, because most men are usually fact driven. Yes. Not that women aren't, but we usually go to, well, what's the facts? How can we solve the problem? Mm-hmm. Right. To where women are much better at the emotional side of it and go, okay, well, how is this going to be perceived? How is it going to make people feel? Right. Which is so beautiful, because God has created two, both male and female, to work together perfectly to where they can balance them out. And, you know, sometimes those personalities are different on the sexes, but for the most part, right. And so I saw a pendulum swing for a while to where it was like no emotion. And I even saw Christians saying, oh, emotions, and, you know, rightly so, they were maybe worried about kind of the Hillsong and kind of the emotion driven churches and the Bethel, and it's all about how you feel and love, right? But then at the same time, God did create us with emotions, and they do serve a very important purpose. And if you read through Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job, you see emotion out of these men and women of God, to where they are important, but we're supposed to, what, keep them in check, right?
And
with the Word of God. So what are your feelings on that when talking to women, even about emotions? We don't just abandon them altogether, right?
Nope. Actually, emotions are, like you said, given to us by God. And so instead of using them, we just need to keep them in check. It's like the story of the wild horse. If you're riding a wild horse, it's just going to take control and just lead you wherever you want to go, wherever it wants to go. But we need to have a bridle on that horse and, you know, and be able to pull back when we need to. And so that's really what our goal is. Because honestly, women, one thing we learned is women are nurturing.
Yeah.
And so in your nurturing as a woman, you're going to have some emotions. You're going to have some kindness and some love. And at times you're going to have some, you know, maybe feel, you know, emotional feelings towards your children or your husband. And that is good. Those are all really good. It's just keeping them in check and watching where sin comes in, because sin does get into everything.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, we are, right? We're creatures of our nature. Just talking to that about that very subject again a few days ago. So when doing the podcast, what I wanted to kind of get into the making the sausage, because is that the term, making the sausage? Seeing how the sausage is made, right?
I love it. I don't know, but that's great.
Behind the scenes. So the problem with thinking fast and talking fast is sometimes stuff comes out of your mouth before the brain filters it, my wife says.
I never have that problem ever.
Sure. I don't know. It kind of seemed like me. I think we're kindred spirits in that too. All right. So every time we talk about podcasting and stuff too, the listeners always comment, go, well, what about this? What about that? So how do you prep for the podcast? Do you think of a subject? Do you pray on it? Do you go, oh, I think in this season for this congregation, for our congregation, we need to talk about this. I'm thinking about the people listening that don't go to the church. Like, where's the priority? And then how do you kind of prep? I've always been interested in
that. We have a whole bunch of recorded talks that I pull and we use those. So those that kind of can guide our year. I did last year kind of led and looked ahead and thought, okay, we have all of these from this event. And so let's see what we can put and let's see what else we can hash through on some of these things. Yeah. And then we also just bring up things like the discernment podcast that you just mentioned was because of a conversation I actually had with one of my guests. And we were talking ahead after Bible study about how discernment is lacking and how we can help our women. And I thought, I need to have her on the podcast to talk about this.
Yeah.
So that one just came more organically. That was not planned. And then I have a group of women and they're called the Advisory Council through Christ the Word. And when I get my schedule together, I kind of like put into a basic schedule. And then I just say, hey, what do you guys think? And they always have fabulous ideas. And they're not the women who want to jump in and put it into practice. I've had all of them on the podcast at some point, but they're the ones that are going to give the big idea. And that's helpful to think, what do our women need right now? So really our podcast is aimed towards our women at our church, but it can be a great blessing to anyone.
Oh, very beneficial for people who aren't even in Christ the Word.
Yeah, because we aren't talking Christ the Word.
Right.
We're not talking about Christ the Word. We just happen to have everybody from there.
So how important do you think it is for women ministering to other women? Is that something that's vital to the body of Christ?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Yeah. And I think there are churches that don't have that.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for them because women are unique, obviously, from men. We know this. And we complement each other, but our needs are different. and the way that God has made us is different. And yet I do think there's a place that women are in the regular church body, and the relational thing that happens between from woman to woman is so important.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bible talks about that in Titus 2, about the role of older women to younger women and the role of older women teaching younger women. So just like the Bible talks over and over about men leading, it is something that is important in the church is women, older women teaching younger women.
You know, I'm so glad you touched on that too, because that was something that my wife, Samantha, who you know.
And I love. She's very sweet.
I love too.
Well, that works out.
I think we're 18 years this. We're not quite at 27, but.
Congratulations.
But 18, yeah. But she kind of, we were at a church, and this is nothing to say anything negative about that church or other churches, but we've been to multiple churches over our 20 years of going to church together. And we found that there was just, you know, with women, it was like, well, we're doing this. It was almost like what they were doing with men. It's pancake breakfast or, you know, a special, you know, quarterly event for women, and no real discipleship in either of the sexes. Mm. And I think that's a larger problem of lack of discipleship in most churches anyway.
Yep.
And, you know, I definitely don't make these podcast episodes just to rail on other churches. But at the same time, I think it's good to point out to people listening or watching that, you know, different churches are different in the way that they interpret and follow God's word. And God does say that we are to disciple not only the nations, but each other.
Yeah.
And what you bring up, older women discipling younger women, and even older men discipling younger men.
Yep.
Look, the world already gets this. If you go look at any self-help book or any guru, what are they talking about? Mentorship.
Yep.
Get under.
Any business.
Business, right. Yep. Any business mentorship, right? And learn from. And it's like, well, why don't we get that in the church? Sometimes in the broader church. I mean, I'm not talking about Christ the Word, because I think we do a phenomenal job. That was one of the things that attracted us to Christ the Word as well too, because we both have women mentoring women, men mentoring men. In fact, next weekend I'll be going on the father-son camping trip in northern Michigan. My son's
holding your phone up to try to get service.
Holding my phone. No, probably driving in 3 miles because it's pretty remote.
Yes.
But what a great time of father and son, or, you know, male to male discipleship. We have Bible studies every night. We sing psalms and hymns. We, you know, we gather on the fire. We're doing things that are that young boys and young men like to do.
Yep.
And in the same way, your podcast really promotes, like you said, the discipleship of women to women, which I've always found a church that has women discipling women is such a powerful church for Christ.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think, and I'm talking too much here, but we'll get back to you. Sorry. But sometimes,
okay. I'm listening. Yeah. It's good.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Covenant Real Estate. And why not? It's my podcast and my real estate company. But seriously, I've absolutely enjoyed helping clients buy, sell, and invest in real estate over the last 12 years. My brokerage serves clients in Michigan and Ohio, with more states coming soon. When I started this brokerage, I wanted to ensure that my expertise and knowledge would serve every one of my clients. I take my fiduciary responsibility to my clients very seriously. That's why I named it Covenant Real Estate. Not only is a covenant a contract in the legal sense, but it's also a solemn promise from myself to each of my clients. I will do my absolute best to serve you. It's also pretty cool that our name has some theological implications as well, which is a great conversation starter. And here's the best part. My agents and I have extensive experience in helping people buy and sell residential homes, buy and sell commercial properties, as well as investing in real estate and selling and purchasing recreational and vacant land. Covenant Real Estate can help you with all of your real estate needs, and I would love the opportunity to earn your business. So if you have real estate needs in Michigan or Ohio, call me at 734-731-GREG. That's 734-731-GREG. Or click on the link in the description of this podcast episode you're listening to right now. Remember, Covenant Real Estate, confidence from contract to close. But man, I don't want to say weakest, but you know, when, in its overused term, the dead church, or those churches that are just dying and there's no life there, no vibrancy, is almost always a church that has discarded its women.
Yeah. Yes.
Now there's other issues too with men, you know, men not leading and things like that, and maybe not being biblical, but, it's so awesome to see not only a podcast, but ministries within Christ the Word that people like you are taking up to minister to other women, mm-hmm. and not just surface level right. stuff. I mean, you guys go deep on the podcast. Yeah. I was listening. I go, oh my gosh, I'm loving it. I'm gonna have to look up that reference. Yeah, I didn't.
That's right.
Who is it? You know.
Yeah.
And so many different women are coming in and talking that way, and it's just so good. Have you been blessed by that? By having those women in?
I'm blessed every single week. I'm challenged, and then I'm convicted because somewhere in our conversation, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm dealing with that sin issue too, or I need to change in this way, and so I guess I should say I'm a little selfish in putting it together because I get to do that first, you know. But it is really, I mean, women are an important part of churches. You know, they're leading the kids. I always think that, you know, usually the wives, if you're talking about wives and husbands, wives are home taking care of kids. They're the ones that are making a really big impact on the kids. The husband also has an important impact, but the wives in the home every day, even if your kids are in public school, you still have an impact. You still are with your kids more probably than your husband.
Yes.
And so that is really important to teach. And this is true if you know, any woman, you need to have relationships with women.
Yeah.
And it encourages you. One of my favorite things that we do at Christ the Word, which I'm pretty sure you've participated in, is our small groups that we have.
Yeah.
And these small groups are set up where it's whole families.
Sure.
It's not just couples. It's not just, you know, there's a place for the men's Bible studies and women's Bible studies as well, but having a whole group together. And my favorite part is when we break off and do our prayer time, because I'm guessing you do this too. Yeah. We're there to confess our sin, and men go one way and women go another, because sometimes my sin is, well, always my sin is bad, but my sin can be things I have to deal with, and women can be an encouragement to me in that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really great place, really important thing. And so, if your church doesn't do that, I think you should start doing that. Get that in there.
I mean, that's another thing that I think is a little bit needed in modern evangelical Protestant churches, is it an understanding, maybe going back to, we understood it maybe 50 years ago, but since the 60s and the sexual revolution, and then the 70s with kind of CRT stuff, third wave feminism, and then we get into the stuff in the 90s, and now even churches have kind of taken on like, oh, we're kind of the same. We can do everything together.
Right.
And look, we corporately worship together.
Yeah,
we corporately confess our sin together.
Yeah.
I mean, we are a visiting church. If I get out of there an hour after church, let's out, I'm doing well.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
so we are a very communal church.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are certain things that I think are done better, like you said, confessing of sin privately in small group. You know, even when, like you said, we have family trips, but we also have trips just for men, trips just for women. Yep. I think it's a vital important part of realizing that the sexes are absolutely different.
Yeah.
Equal but totally different roles
and
that God has.
Complementary to each other.
Complementary to each other. Absolutely. I'm a good complementarian. But the word threw me off because I thought, oh yeah, that's where it comes from. But what I wanted to say was too, is, what a shame the secular world has done through feminism in basically telling women too, oh, it's not important to stay home or to raise kids or to homeschool them. Like, you got to be out there working and earning money. Right. And I always, this is well before I even understood. I mean, I was 11 or 12 years old and I went, man, if the world exists on people growing up and doing things, then the people training the people growing up and doing things, that's gotta be like a really important job. Mm-hmm. I remember having that thought. Didn't, you know, wasn't political or theological. Right. It just made sense as a young boy, like, well, whoever's taking care of the next generation, that's gotta be pretty important, because without the next generation, we don't exist as a human race, right? Yeah, I was a real fun kid when I was younger. But it's just so sad because we have this whole kind of paradigm where it's you gotta be a provider in that sense of working out in the workplace and things like that. When what a beautiful role a woman has when they're taking care of children, taking care of their house, and I would argue, I saw, what was it, about 8 or 9 years ago, they did a study and they said if they added up everything that a housewife did in a year, what the median pay should be, you know, something around $450,000. Yes. That was in like 2018 or $16. You know, anything from doctor and nurse and cook and, you know, all the different things you do. And I just go, what a disservice our secular culture has done for women who disregard that, because it's such a beautiful thing. And I see it firsthand with my wife, the struggles, but also the joys.
Yeah, definitely. Know? And it's interesting, you know, that's part of what we've talked about in our Feminology series is the idea that we are equal in God's view, as well as sinners, but also in God's view, made in his image. But we're also have different roles.
Yeah.
And our roles are there to encourage and help each other, you know? And so I think that's huge. And I agree with you. I think it's, I mean, I'm in the schools because I'm a substitute teacher in a school that my kids go to. And I see firsthand where you observe the you know, kids who have a broken home or a situation like that. And you think, whoa, wow, that makes much more sense to me now because mom is working full time all the time constantly and is really, really busy. And that can really affect the kids for sure.
Speaking of teacher, I have such a soft spot in my heart for teacher. Well, my mother was a teacher, not only at homeschool, but later in life, she both taught preschool, kindergarten, and then did some substitute teaching. But I just go with our culture and the breakdown of the family and the breakdown of discipline and discipleship with children. And then you have these children that are, you know, no guidance, no discipleship. And then they send them to school and then want the teacher to basically raise their children. Yeah. And then, you know, heaven forbid if you say, you know, little Johnny needs this or that, boy, it's the teacher's fault. Mm-hmm. And I just have this soft spot. Like, what do you do in that situation where we see a culture where there's no real focus on education, no real focus on family, no, you know, or maybe forced because both parents have to work to make ends meet.
And it happens,
And they're using the school as you know, daycare until they get out. And then the teacher's going, what am I doing? We have unruly children or not listening or falling behind in their studies because it's not emphasized at home. I don't know. I mean, you're saying, do you still currently substitute teach? How is that? And I'm
I homeschooled my kids for a long time. And during a series of events, we decided to send our kids to school.
Yeah.
And here's what I will say is there are some amazing teachers in public schools all over the United States, and they are believers and they love God and they're impacting kids every single day.
Right.
And, you know, there's just a pulling. I mean, it's we got to do what God calls us to do. God calls some people to homeschool and God calls some people not to. And that's okay. Yeah. And we need to obey God by teaching our kids. And so I think as a teacher, as the teachers that I observe, they are doing a great job. The Christian teachers at the school that I'm at are loving those kids. And we do some, I participate in after school things occasionally, or we did, our church actually went out. You actually came and helped at the school. And we did some event after school and we brought in a whole bunch of families. And so I think the churches, local church can connect with local public schools in helping to do that. It makes a connection and it allows those people to go, I now hear about this church and maybe this would be a place we could visit.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not going to reach everybody.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen, but we can try with our best. And I think teachers are doing a good job.
So I kind of get pushback too, because I blame the Protestant church on the state of America and the state of schools. We've been asleep far too long.
Yeah.
We haven't been preaching Christ crucified. We haven't been discipling both throughout our families and in municipalities and states and through the nation. And people go, oh, why are we in this mess? And it's like, well, for the most part, the majority of churches and Christians were kind of just coasting on the goodness of God and how he'd blessed this country through Christian principles and morals.
Right.
And and we're starting to see right now, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, well, 5 years, especially with the craziness of the social culture wars, churches kind of stiffening their back and going, uh-oh, what should we do?
Yeah.
Well, one, we should have never let it get this far.
Right.
I say well, we, but
It's the same thing. Little pieces.
Oh,
you get a little bit every way along. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, how did we get so far away?
Right. We don't say something about this and then we say love is love. And then next thing we know, men can be pregnant. And that's where we are now. Right.
That's quite the jump, but you're right.
That jump did take 50 to 60 years socially, but it's the frog in the pot, right?
Absolutely.
It's like you just turn it up 1 degree a little bit each time. But my larger point was, I blame the churches on that. I blame the believers in the United States. You know, Ligonier did a poll. Last year, they do their big Ligonier Ministries as a 10,000, 15,000 people they interview, and it's their annual poll. And out of 15,000 actually this year interviewed, 69% of people who said they were Christian. Okay, they say, do you believe you're Christian? Yes. Did not believe that the word of God was inherent or inspired and did not believe in the deity of Christ.
Wow.
69%, right?
Wow.
So that's almost 3 out of 4, just short of 3 out of 4. And you're going, well, those are two kind of main orthodox orthodoxy, yeah. right? So, yes. so even the word Christian has become so diluted. We don't, it's weird. You know, when we use right. it, it's like, right. it's so funny. Cause when I talk, I usually say like nine adjectives in front of it. Yes. Cause you gotta so yes. narrow down and define,
yep.
you know, a pastor, even when I say I go to, you know, a reformed Presbyterian church, you have to go, well, Presbyterian, not Lesbyterian. It's, right. you know, we're not PC. Right. right. It's because even that has been so invaded
yeah.
that people hear a word and they automatically assume. Right. I don't know where I was going with that rant, but it just popped into my head that's very important to define those things too.
Well, you know? Let me just bring it full circle.
Okay.
This is why we have these podcasts. There you right. go. Yeah. Because it allows people to hear truth also yeah. throughout their week. And I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So as we put bookends on this, we're going to link everything up, but tell people when the episode's release, where they can find it, all that yeah. good stuff.
Okay. So Unshaken, you can find it pretty much any podcast directory that you love. Podbean, yes. Apple Podcasts. I mean, anything, Google Cast. And it drops every Thursday at 8 a.m.
Nice.
Okay. And then we also at Christ the Word have a women's ministry social media. So okay. on Facebook and Instagram, we have Women of the Word CTW. And that is not just for our women. It is for anyone who wants to participate. And we put a lot of really good content on there.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of social media, but this is what social media is for.
Sure.
And so I, you know, we have a blog every week on Wednesdays. So we just do a lot of that as well. And then we have, just like the men at our church, we have a women's conference that comes out in March.
Yeah.
And so if you can come to
that's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. We have about 500-600 women that come from all over, and it has been a great thing. Yeah. Great, great blessing.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure we link this up. So if you guys are listening, you can just click below and go to all those sites. Yeah. But before you leave, would you mind sticking around for a segment of Fresh 10 where we ask you 10 fresh questions to get to know you a little bit better?
I will.
You ready?
I'm scared.
All right, here we go. Let's go. Can we kick that one more time? Let's go. All right, she's on the hot seat. Julie Van Warmer, fresh 10 questions. We try to keep them pretty quick. This first one could go long, but we'll keep them short. First of all, where'd you meet your husband?
Oh, I met him in a singles group at a church that's just down the road from here, actually. Ooh. So
scandalous.
I know.
Singles group.
I know.
Okay. What do you wish you would have known 10 years ago? Maybe something that you think back and you go, that'd have been good to know when I was a little bit younger, or a different season in my life, or just, it doesn't have to be 10 years ago. It could just even be further back in life. What do you think?
I think the number one thing would be the importance of continually spending time with my kids and talking with them. I think that's been huge, and not to assume that just because I was reading them the Bible that they were going to all follow God, but
yeah.
instead to spend time in conversation.
That's so good. I just was thinking about that because my oldest is 13 and you go, oh wow, 5 years and she's a yeah. legal adult.
Yeah.
Yesterday she was 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
And then you start really thinking about, oh wow, yeah, the things you do with your children yep. really good. Do impact them. Make sure you're doing yeah. the right things.
And it goes fast.
Yeah. And for those listening, she doesn't know any of these questions, so she's already given two great answers and okay. doesn't even know what's coming. I love it.
I don't know.
Okay, question number three. What properties do you try to buy when you're playing Monopoly?
Oh,
man. Are you like that really cheap, like Baltic, or do you go Boardwalk or somewhere in the middle? Do you play Monopoly at all?
I just try to buy everything that I can. I've learned that from my husband. So let's buy it all and see what we can do.
Oh, another red-blooded capitalist. We're gonna get along fine. No, I'm just kidding. So just try to buy it all and hope you don't go broke yeah. before someone lands on you.
I don't normally win Monopoly, just on a side note. So,
my 9-year-old's been beating me the last couple of times, which is very frustrating. You know, I'm an entrepreneur, right. a business owner. I'm supposed to, you know, and he's, I don't know.
Well, you're training him well, then.
I guess so. All right, ready? We get in the DeLorean, the flux capacitor's flexing. Oh, we're traveling in time. Are we going back in time to visit your great-great-great-grandfather? Or are you going in grandparents? Or are you going forward in time to visit? Is it your great-great-great-grandkids?
Definitely backwards.
Ooh.
Definitely.
Okay.
I'm a huge history fan, so okay. I want to go back and ask questions and find out why they moved in different places and what they did.
Yeah.
And I also don't know that I want to go into the future because you might see things you didn't like. So
you just show up in the future right. and you're like, oh, wait, this is Christ is ruling and reigning. Cool. Right. It
well,
happened.
Okay, that's true.
That could happen if you go far enough.
That would
enough.
Be okay, yeah.
All right, so go back in time. That's interesting. That question is about 50-50 split with most of my guests.
Okay.
So it's not one way or the other. So you're right there. Question five, what's the best piece of advice someone has ever given you? Now, this is a hard one because there's a lot of good advice out there. And I always try to repeat the question because you don't know these are coming. So I give you, you know, 20 seconds to think of something.
Well,
what's a good piece of advice?
I would say, well, I have lots, but I'll give you one. It's not necessarily the best. Okay. But one of the best pieces of advice was our pastor's wife encouraged me to let my kids do things and not to be like hover mom or helicopter mom and just hold on to them, but encourage them to go places and do things and let them out, so to speak. And that was really good. I also remember her, my neighbor kids would be on the fence post waiting to play with my kids. And it would kind of bug me because I was like, I just want to hang out with my kids by myself. Right. And I remember her saying, just let them play for 15 minutes. Like use it as a chance to share the gospel with them. And so we did. And that was good. So I would say that's good.
Yeah, that's tough. I think generally speaking, and I'm speaking generally, but I think the dads are usually a little more willing to let the kids do crazy stuff.
Yes.
I think Jordan Peterson calls it supervised chaos. Not that I'm endorsing Jordan Peterson, but it's just a nice term. Dads are, you kind of have to give your kids a little bit of chaos, but let it be under supervision and controlled. But they learn that way, to where moms are a little more in good measure, because sometimes it balances us out. I go, get on an e-bike, go 30 miles an hour. You don't need a helmet. Just make sure you don't fall. And Sam's like, whoa, wait. You
know. Yeah.
So that's good though. Question six, what is one thing people would assume about you, but isn't true?
Oh
yeah. What is something that you think people would assume talking to you, looking at you, being a friend of yours, but really not true. Doesn't hold.
Oh, that's a hard question.
Is it?
I didn't have time to think about this.
You got to introspect on this one. We're big introspectors on this podcast. We always look at ourselves first.
Okay, so I do love to organize things. Yeah. So I have gone at times to people's houses and helped them organize stuff because I really enjoy that. That's like fun. So I guess I would think people would think that my house was clean all the time and organized. And
right,
that is
like
not true. I left with dishes in my sink this morning. So
do you do the, someone's going to be here in a half hour. Open
everybody
the closets.
Go. Yes. Yeah, everybody go now. Right.
Oh, we do that. Yeah. I relax my wife on that a little bit. She gets so... the house is always a mess. And I go, look it, we're living life.
Living here. Yep,
what are you going to do? Yep. I don't mind, yes, teach your kids to pick up and clean up, but
That's funny. I came out of the bedroom the other day into the kitchen and I said, oh, my dishes are all right here. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get the dishes. And my husband goes, I do not care. I know they're going to get done someday, but there's a clean plate. We're good.
Absolutely. All right. Question number seven, moving right along. Who's one theologian, dead or alive, or teacher, or pastor, or something like that you would want to interview on your podcast if you could?
Well, it's a podcast for women, so I gotta go women.
Okay.
I would without a doubt love to talk to Corrie Ten Boom or
Elizabeth
Elliott. Those would be my two.
Yeah. You want to know, no one has ever said Corrie Ten Boom. And my mom read that to us when we were young, and then I reread the book. What a witness.
Yes.
What a powerful woman of God.
And one of my favorite things is she's just a normal, average woman, you know? And then God, in the situation, God gave her strength to rise to where she needed to be.
Oh, could you imagine? Some of the stories in that book too are like, wow.
I know.
Watching her sister.
Everyone should read it.
Oh, is it self-titled? I can't remember. What's the name of it?
The Hiding Place.
The Hiding Place. There we go. All right. So go read The Hiding Place. All right. Couple more left. What three albums are you taking with you on the deserted island? Or if you can't think of three,
I'm a huge Keith. You mean music?
Music. Yeah.
I'm a huge Keith Green fan. So any Keith Green would be great. I love Rich Mullins. These are all old. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Michael Card fan. So
who's Michael Card? Why don't I know Michael Card?
He sings really pretty much scripture. You'd have to like
Michael Card, huh?
Like 1980s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
I'm in there though. I knew. Okay. So I grew up, my piano teacher teaching me Keith Green.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, so like you put that love in my heart, and we're going.
Oh yeah,
and the Easter song and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So then I had the piano music for the ministry years. What was that? 79 to 81.
I have those actual CDs. Yeah.
So you could bring the compilation album, and then you get more albums for the price of one. Yeah. It's funny. I always tell the story. You know, we went to it was non-denominational church, but it's pretty legalistic. It looked like a fundamental Baptist church without the Baptist, and I got sat down when I was like 12, and the pastor and the youth leader said, you're playing Keith Green. That's devil music.
Ooh.
It's Christian contemporary music. Yeah. It's got a drum beat. Because I just did an episode on surviving Bill Gothard because we did Bill Gothard in homeschool for a few years and was very, very authoritarian, very like every beat's wrong, like all that kind of stuff. And my parents saw that and moved us away from that only after a couple of years, thank God. But I remember just thinking when I was young, well, it's a Christian. And I loved it because I love playing. I love playing the drums. I love syncopated beats.
Yep.
I'm a boogie woogie guy.
Yep.
I'm a blues guy. And it was like Keith Green was like, he was like kind of that Christian Billy Joel, but even better.
Yes.
You know what I mean? In my opinion. So I grew up on him. And it was just a weird thing of, that's bad. You know, had to, took a while to reprogram that.
He's
you
awesome.
Know? But he's good. So what's the hardest part about hosting a successful podcast? Question number 9.
Well,
I have an idea, I think, how you're going to answer, but I want to see what you say. What's the hardest part for you personally?
Okay. When someone has a lot, you must not do any edits.
Oh, no.
You do none. Well, I do edits. So.
Oh, no. I do some truncate silence. And if it's something drops or, you know,
Okay. So we, on our podcast, we sort of let people know the questions ahead so they have time to think.
Okay.
And so sometimes I have some edits.
We don't.
I know. I figured that out.
We just throw it at you.
So the editing process is probably the thing that's not my favorite.
I have it down after 3 years.
Yeah,
but
I'm better.
But in the beginning, absolutely. You're like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'd rather just record them all.
Yep.
And farm it out to someone.
Yes, I know.
The editing. People don't realize you do 45-minute hour podcast. You're probably editing for twice as long if you want it to sound
But decent. I have learned how to let my laptop sit on the counter and edit as I do other things. So I'm doing dishes and then I'm running over to pause it to fix it. So anyway, we're getting
there. The editing. All right. The last one for Fresh 10, and it's a little more serious, but we were just wondering, in your own words, when I say the term women's ministry, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways you could go with this, but I think you talked about it earlier, and that's the key to women teaching women, older women teaching younger women. Mm. And that is true all the way through. Whether you're a mother or not, you can still be looking down or looking beyond your age and reaching out to women who are younger. And actually, I think I've discipled and spent time with women who are older than me. Like, I don't know that age really matters. I think it's just, let's reach out to women. Let's care for them. Let's get into their lives. Let's talk to them. Let's encourage them. Challenge them, and sometimes occasionally call out sin in their life after we've built relationships with them so that we can do that. You know, you build friendships. I have seen so many good things happen when God is at work between from woman to woman and just relationships that get built and the things that God does when women are soft to his word and strong in the work that they do every day. Those are just huge things. And I think that that is true in women's ministry.
That's good. Well, that's it. That's Fresh 10 with Julie Van Warmer. Awesome answer. So the real fun part of that, Julie, is when you have like learned men and women of God on, and then you play that song for them, you know, like the Bill Askells and the Doug Wilsons and the James Whites and the Burke Parsons from Ligonier, and they just look at you like, what did I get myself into with this guy?
That's right.
You go, sorry, you got to go with it. You already said you'd be on the podcast. So.
That's right.
So Julie, thanks so much for stopping by and talking with us. Man, what a wonderful time. I bet you if we really wanted to, we could go a couple hours. You know, I might have to have you back because I think we're both talkers and we could just go. And like I said, I threw you into the hot seat, didn't tell you any of the questions or anything, but that's kind of what we do here. Go off the cuff, see how we can, you know, there's been a couple where you halfway through and you go, yeah, probably should have gave this person the questions because some people prepare a little better with, you know, but it wasn't too, I don't think we didn't go too crazy on you. I think you did okay.
I think it was good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, we'll link everything up, but make sure you go check out Unshaken. The podcast is just unbelievable. Julie's a great host. And we thank you for listening to another episode of Dead Man Walking Podcast. As always, you can find us on all social media platforms at Dead Man Walking Podcast, except Twitter. They wouldn't give us that one. That's Real DMW Podcast. But we're on social media. You can find out more about us at dmwpodcast.com. We appreciate you guys listening, following along. And as always, remember, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God bless. Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubDV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.